Let's see if we can do this. I do.
He's a stranger.
There's going to be a lot of strange things going on there. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
It's been a nice, beautiful Wednesday. We got some rain today, which is well needed, but it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. You haven't noticed I've been absent for a little while, but I'm glad to be back, and we're going to open up tonight. Things are going to be a little different tonight. We got some, I'm not going to say a guest musician, but we got some different type of piano playing tonight. And if everybody's turned their hymnals number 502, open my eyes that I may see. And we're going to have a little introduction with the music, and then I will bring you in. Lord willing. Okay, Mr. Rick, let's go.
Good evening, y'all. We'll be in the book of Mark, chapter 6 tonight. Mark, chapter 6. And if I had a title for the message, it would be How to Feed 5,000. How to Feed 5,000. No, if you remember Sunday, as we're looking at the seven signs in the book of John, we know that Christ did a whole lot more miracles. We simply have to look at the other Gospels to see, and even in John, when he walks through the door on the evening of the resurrection, I think that's the first evening service right there that we ever see of the church. But that the feeding of the 5,000 men, we know that there was many more, is the only miracle or sign that's recorded in all four of the Gospels. And on Sunday, we looked at it from the perspective of John and how that it was a sign, to express that the Messiahship of Christ Jesus. But tonight I want us to look at Mark's. Mark's is very similar to Matthew's, and we'll look at that. But praise God for the rain. Amen. I don't know about y'all, it's a churchyard that's almost burnt up. It's been so dry and so hot. And I live on Dry Creek, so it's nothing new, but I'm hoping that Dry Creek is a wet creek when I get back home. But it's been a beautiful week, and I pray that you enjoyed your holiday weekend and the celebration of the independence of our country. Also want to remind you that if you've not heard, nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him, he'll do even greater things than you could ever imagine. Do we have any words of praise or testimony? Yes, Sister Donna.
We received a $500
donation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory for that. Anyone else got a word of praise or testimony tonight? Amen. Good to have you back, brother. Good to get you back down on this side of heaven. Now, this Sunday, we're going to be blessed. We're going to take a little pause in our study of the signs, and it's Gideon Sunday. But we're blessed to have Emmanuel Bahati. He's a physician, I think, a surgeon in Pakistan. He's over here kindly just telling of how the contributions of the Bible is making a difference over there. And he's going to be taking control of the service. But I think it'd be wonderful to hear a perspective on the treasure of God's Word in the eyes of people. You know, when you look at the sun too long, you go blind. And I think that that's the way America's become to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we've so readily available, that we've looked at it so long that sometimes the glory of it, we've become dim to the awesomeness of it. So do we have any other words of praise tonight? Amen. In the way of prayer needs tonight, we have some specific prayer needs. Miss Wilma Jean Tomlinson, not only does she have COVID right now, but she also has pneumonia, I think double pneumonia, to be honest with you. And, you know, not being in her home is going to bring her down a little bit there. But also, we've been told that while the COVID right now doesn't seem to be as bad affecting you physically, it is very contagious, and that it's kindly running its again in the hospitals and the nursing homes. Also, Sister Willis, Miss Susan's mother, Susan Carter, as you know, she's been dealing with the diverticulitis, and it's jumped back up again. And I think that they were going to the doctor today with her. Remember Miss Brenda Stevens, this is Miss Wilma Jean's daughter. We want to pray for her as the caretaker as well. Caretaking is a difficult job. Also, I talked with my mama yesterday, and she's having a lot of physical issues right now, and that's got her down a little bit. Continue to pray for Brother Leonard, or Mr. Leonard Roten. Talked to Sister Nancy today, and today's been one of the rougher days since he's got out of the hospital and all, but continue to pray for healing there. Sister Teresa Cobb, as she's going through her treatments. And Brother Danny, I think y'all going to be going down to Nashville.
We're going to Nashville.
Vandy. Amen. Hey, if I'm diagnosed, I'm going to Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's praise God. But we want to continue. When y'all going? After that meeting, I got you. Is he? I know that fight. Want to continue to pray for Sister Moselle, Sister Bridget, as her back is dealing with her, giving her a fit. Jan Williams, Jared Collins, Amanda Christian with Xander and Sebastian, Jamie G, Linda Fletcher. Also, I tell you what, God is putting people in my path. And just continue to pray for Brother Chris Boyd, also Shad, the individual that came up here and needed to get back to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We weren't able to get him that far, but we got him past the Florida-Georgia line. Herschel Jesse, Chuck and Gene Dennison, Gene Fannin, Peggy DeBoard, Larry and Wayne Bledsoe, Melanie Lester, Kathy Kynes. Also pray for the Kathy Quillen family. This is Sister Ernestine's first cousin, and she passed on into eternity, so pray for them. Sister Peggy DeBoard, Ruth and Nick Roten, John Austin, Ashlyn Anthony, J.D. Nielsen, John Bryce, Sister Jeanette, Tommy Mullins, Wilma Daniels, Jasper and Pam Brown, Mary Jane Carter, Wilma Williams, Karen McDavid, Charlie Taylor, the Stenicky family, Lisa Eastep, Billy Carter, Deborah Taylor, Candy Worth, Leslie and Daryl, Kim and Dale Owens, Jimmy Taylor, Hazel Dingus, Shalene Harris, Brittany Grindstaff, Daryl Hurd, Junior Wade, Roger and Virginia Eden, Teresa Holden, Maggie Statzer, Betty McCorkle, Heather Markham, Kevin Tigner, Buddy McNutt, Steve Smith, Jason Knight, Pam Savarsky, and Sister Jessie Bull, Margaret Williams, the CC family, Debbie Starnes, Terry Biller, Brandon Johnson, Randy Meeks, Chuck Kearney, Junior Stidham, Penny Horton, Kathy Smith, Charlotte Bishop, Gail Stidham, Mike Brown, Larry Tomlinson, Rhonda Duran, Mickey Gillum, Dr. Awan, Miranda Caldwell, Kathy Baldwin, Aiden Jordan, Daryl Green, Paul Davis, Genevieve and Jerry Flannery, Bodessa Lawson, Cindy Osborne, Denny Lemon, Charlene Lofton, C. Edmonds, Shannon Haynes, Laura Evans and her youngins, J.T. and Gladys Stone, Jones, Rhea and Ruth Osborne, Justin Bowen, Carol Carter, Ezekiel Jordan, Robbie and Daniel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Ethan Bowen, Daisy Richards, Dakota McQueen, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Haas, David and Felicia Cantrell, Lance Stollard, Mr. Pippin, Haley Webb, Carol Dishner, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, John and Carmine Shoup, Chelsea LeBlanc, Steve Neff, Linda Jackson, Helen Bowen, Liza Fletcher, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Miss Lottie Johnson, Mr. Frank and Miss Cecilia Pennington, Randall and Edie Gunner, Nicholas Patrick, David Starnes, James Connor, Evan Bach, Stuart Owens, Brother Jeff's brother, Jackie and Sharon Christian, Sarah Freeman, Jackie LeVay, Tony Nunley, Jim and Sonia Rogers, Sandra Dishner, Herman Simpson, Tracy Carter. Continue to pray for the summer creative learning program up at Hope. Then pray for the backyard Bible study that's going on as we speak over in the village. And then remember Brother Jeff DeBoard and Sister Tammy and the rest of those that are up in Alaska working. And there's, number one, the lost, those that don't know Jesus Christ. And again, we remind you to pray for the men at Recovery Through Christ and Brother Jack and Sister Tina, Rayside. And then, two, continue to pray for our health care workers and all that's going on there, the elections that are coming up. Also, just put it out there, I think we need to start praying for some relief at the pumps. I think that we need to beseech God on that behalf, because it's becoming very heavy on families. There has to be something to make up the difference, and most families aren't finding it right now. So just pray on that. Do we have any other prayer needs tonight? Any individuals? Brother Johnny? Okay. Yes, maybe there's another one that needs to come off. Thank you, brother. Anyone else? Mark Vanover. All righty, thank you. Diane Anderson, Mark Vanover. Benny Owens. And that was Stephanie Crystal. Thank you, sister. Anyone else? Maddie will be moving in to her dorm the 17th, I think it is, and then starts classes the 24th of August. So I'm trying to get used to her not being in her bed, you know, walk by there and let it be empty. But the cat's going to live there now. He'll claim it as his own. Anyone else? All right. As you know, we believe in the power of prayer, not because we say so, but the Bible says that the prayers of a righteous individual availeth much, and I believe that the prayers of a church has great effect. And so the altar is always open, and you don't have to be invited, but I'm going to ask Brother John Franklin, if he would, to come and lead us in our prayers over this tonight, and just praise God that he has given us life, you know, and we don't think about it a lot, but there's more than one person, no matter what you're going through right now, there's more than one person that would trade with you their life for yours, no matter what you're going through. Isn't that an awesome thought? Somebody would willingly trade lives with you right now, and that's a reason to give praise right there. Brother John.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just, once again, Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, just for the privilege to come together, Lord, just corporately, Father, Lord, just to be together as one body, to come and to praise you, to study your word, and just to fellowship with one another here this week, here in the middle of this week, Father, Lord, and this time I just humbly bow here before you, and Lord, just praise your name, Father, Lord. You are just a holy, almighty God. You are righteous. You are merciful. You are loving, Father. I just thank you so much. I can't describe. I can't put into words everything that you are, Father. I just thank you so much. Father, hear all of these names that have been read off here by the pastor. Father, Lord, I just lift them all up to you. In each and every case, in each and every situation, and every request, Father, Lord, lift them all and put them all in your hands. You know each and every situation. I also lift up all of our unspoken requests as well, Father. I want to lift up all of our summer ministries and things we have going on in our church, Father, Lord, to get the gospel out, Father. Lord, that we as a church body will feel emboldened to not just wait inside our walls, Father, Lord, for the lost to come to us, but that we will go seek out the lost, Father, Lord, through the boldness and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, Father. Lord, not of our own strength, but of yours. I just thank you so much, Lord, for all the many blessings. I ask that you'll just forgive me of all my sins where I've failed you and fallen short. I pray that you'll just I'll give your blessings here upon our study here tonight. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother John. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Not only is this, as we've been doing our studies, as we're looking here, and it's going to be very familiar to you, it's probably, as miracles go, it's probably one of, if not the most well-known of all the miracles that Christ performed, and that is the feeding of the 5,000 men. Not to be confused with the feeding of the 4,000 men. There's two different things there. But as we're looking at it, you know, tonight the thought that's been on my mind and on my heart is the passage in John chapter 14, verse 12, where Jesus said this, as you're turning to Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will do also the works that I do. And he will do even greater works than these because I am going to the Father." Now, thinking about feeding, let's say 5,000 men, let's say the majority of them had a spouse and that they had a child, it's easy to estimate that Christ fed close to 12 to 15,000 that day. And I don't know about you, but just feeding, when we do the
meals for those that are bereaved, and when we have eatings here, there's a lot of work that goes into making sure everybody's fed and they got a drink and all that. And so that is an awesome thing that happens as we look at this miracle. But God said, Christ said in them very words there in John 14:12, that men, after he returns to the Father, specifically those that are followers of Christ Jesus, will do even greater things in his name. And so tonight the idea is how to feed 5,000 or how to do something awesome in Christ. So just remain seated as we're here in the book of Mark, chapter 6, beginning in verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while, for many people were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." Now, if you remember back in a few verses, Christ Jesus has sent out the apostles two by two. And so now it seems like they're coming back together, as we read over in the book of John, that it is Passover season, meaning that a lot of people were making their way to Jerusalem, as it was laid out in the book of Deuteronomy, that as a good Jew, that's what you do. You, for Passover, for the feast of the, when they make the little huts and all that, what was that one called? The Feast of Tabernacles, and then one more. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. And those were, they would be like ours is Christmas and Easter are our two major religious holidays. And we go to family, or we make sure that we're usually at church somewhere. That's the idea here. And so they were making their way there, and Jesus had basically took them up on a mountain apart by themselves. Now, here's what we need to be reminded of. They are worn out from all the work that they've been doing and going and dealing. And then remember, the death of John the Baptist is also tied very close to this. And so not only do we know that Jesus was physically tired at this time and that he wanted to have some alone time with his apostles and catch up with them and to rest a little bit, but he was also emotionally drained with the loss of John the Baptist, who was a family member. But not only that, remember that this is the forerunner of Christ that declared him to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And remember, there's at least three or four that were followers of John the Baptist that when Christ was baptized, they quit following John the Baptist and began to follow Jesus. But still, they had that relationship with John. And so as we look at this, we need to be reminded that the apostles in Christ Jesus know exactly how it feels to be burdened, to be bereaved, to be worn out. And really, maybe you just don't want to have to deal with the situation. But notice what it continues to say in verse 32. So they went away in the boat by them themselves to a remote place. But many saw them leaving and recognized them, and they ran on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. When he, Jesus, went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and notice, he had compassion on them. And notice, his compassion isn't just simply something he feels on the inside, but it motivates him to do something on behalf of those that he sees. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples approached Jesus and said, "This place is deserted, and it is already late." Now, when we think about deserted or a desert place, we think of sand, we think of dry and all that. But what this means is, because it tells us that they sat down on grass. So you can't have a Sahara and have a field of grass as well. What he's talking about is basically it's deserted. There's no town there. There's no buildings there. There's no businesses there. They're just out in nature trying to be alone. But the people come. Jesus is teaching, and it's getting late. And then in verse 36, the disciples say, "Send them away so that they can go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat. Jesus responded, "You give them something to eat." Wow, could you imagine the burden that just fell on the shoulders of the apostles? That there's over 5,000 here, and Jesus is saying that it's my job to feed these people? Verse 37, "You give them something to eat," he said. Then the disciples responded back, "Should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" He asked, Jesus asked and said, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five loaves and two fishes." Now remember, the only one, this is where the little boy had the five barley loaves and the two fishes, but John is the only one that lets us know that what they have came from a little boy. Verse 39, "Then he instructed them," the disciples, "to have all the people sit down in groups on green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, and he took the five loaves and the two fishes, and he looked up into heaven. He blessed it and broke the loaves. He kept giving them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two small fishes among them. Everyone ate until they were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 full baskets of pieces of bread and fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were 5,000 men," specifically 5,000 men. And may God add the blessings to the reading of his scriptures. Now again, I just remind you that I believe our best days as a church and as a body of Christ are yet ahead of us. That God wants to do something awesome through the ministry and the people here at Thomas Village Baptist Church. But we've got to get to a point that we expect God to do something awesome through the people and the ministries here at Thomas Village Baptist Church. And so tonight, how to feed 5,000, or how to do something awesome in Jesus. The first thing that we've got to see is look there in verses 30 and 31. Verses 30, it says, "The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done. And he said, 'Come away by yourselves and rest up.'" So what we see is this, is that when God chooses for something awesome to happen, it's not always on our timetable. Amen? Because now think about it. There's a lot going on right here. He's trying to catch up with his apostles. He's wanting to be alone by himself. He's probably grieving a little bit. And really, you know, do you think that every day when Jesus looked up and saw people coming him to be healed, that he was just overjoyed that he has to deal with the public all day? I don't know if you've ever worked in a job where you have to deal with the public. I worked at Sears, man, and dealing with people at times becomes difficult. But Jesus allowed God's plan to follow through. So if we're going to do something amazing for the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing we've got to recognize is that when Christ gets to doing something, it's not going to be on our timetable. We may not even feel like doing something. We may would rather be somewhere else, doing something else, listening to someone else. But God has a plan, and that's our duty, is to be on his plan. Not on ours. Remember, on the day that we got saved, we traded our life of sin and death for the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And so now, and I'd say when you got saved, if you are saved, you prayed something like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. I give you my life. If you'll take it, and I'll live my life for you." And a lot of people don't recognize that there was a transaction that went on then. And so the first thing is that the situation may not be what we want it to be, but God has a purpose and a plan. The next thing is this: we must surrender all to the Lord Jesus Christ. We surrender everything that we have. You've heard me say this, and you've probably heard my daddy say this, like the little boy who had five loaves and two fishes. "I don't have much, but what I have, I'm going to give to you." That's what that little boy did that day. But not only did he do that, but the disciples had to surrender all that they were that day to Christ Jesus. their willingness to serve. Hey, they were there all day beside Christ Jesus as people were coming and going. They were basically ministering to the people, servants of the people, as they as they would bring them before Christ, and Christ would heal and Christ would teach, and then they would have to take care of things to keep some structure that was going on there. I think it's neat that God is a God of structure, because he didn't just say line them up, but specifically when he was feeding the people, what did he say? Make them sit down in hundreds and in fifties. You know, our God is not a God of chaos. He's a God of reason. He's a God of structure, and he's a God of planning. So we see if we're going to do something awesome for the Lord, we must surrender all that we have. Look right there in verse 38. He asked them, Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, five and two fishes. Are we giving everything, all we are, to Christ Jesus? No, we're not. I mean, we're human. Even though we may have a good heart and that's what we want to do. But remember, God would rather have sincerity than he does sacrifice. He asks for faithfulness above sacrifice. The next thing is this. If we want to see God do something amazing at Thomas Village Baptist Church, we're going to have to choose faithfulness over human reasoning. You know that? Because now, you know what these disciples could have got caught up in doing that day? Well, how is God going to do it? How is he? Is he going to speak words over the fish and two fish go from two fish to 200 fish? Or is he going to do it this way? Is he going to take the bread and is he going to, you know, put it under a blanket and then poof, we lift it back up and we've got 500? No. We get caught up many times trying to plan things when we would just be open to what God wants to do. Now, believe you me, sometimes, no, they didn't know how God was going to do this. And here's what's amazing to me, that he said, you're going to do it. You're going to be the ones that feed them. Now, like I said, God is a God of reasoning, but there's some things that God does that we're never going to be able to figure out. And lots of time, and I've said this before, the way we think about things will override our faith. You don't believe me? All right, you go into the doctor, and God said, you feel like God's told you that you're going to be well, you're going to be whole, you're going to do that, but what will they say? You've got X amount of time to live, you might as well enjoy it. Now, who are you going to believe? Reasoning, human reasoning says, you've got this illness, you've got this sickness, and then this is what goes along with it. But God says, I don't have to follow human reasoning. I don't have to go by what men may say. And many times it can rob us of our faith and of our hope. And so we have to trust the words of Christ over the thoughts that go through our head. And you know what? We can't help what goes through our mind sometimes, can we? Sometimes our weakness of faith shows in what we think. But it's like a bird that flies in a tree. I can't help it if the bird flies through the tree, but I can make sure that he doesn't build a nest while he's there. And that's why we take the Word of God and allow it to override our mind, our emotions, all those things, the truth of God. The next thing is that they are to serve as Christ instructs. Serve as Christ instructs. Lord Jesus, how did you do that? You know, we can get caught up in the wonder of the miracle. You know that? We can get caught up in what God's doing. And that's what happens in this. Remember it tells us in the book of John that they said he was the prophet. They missed that he was the Savior. And instead of accepting him as Lord and Savior, what did they want to do with him over in the book of John? They wanted to make him king. And he slips away. Man, Jesus is good at slipping away. I'm telling you, four or five times in the book of John, for some reason or another, it says that Jesus slipped off into the crowd. But as they wanted to do it their way, they got caught up in the miracle instead of listening to the words of what Jesus was teaching. I believe that this miracle is actually more, and I said this Sunday morning, I believe what we see in this miracle is more for the apostles than it was for the 500 or the 5,000 that was there, because they were working close to him. And remember, they had already heard and seen when he turned, at least half of them, they had saw him turn the water into wine, the first sign. And remember, the second sign was when he healed the royal man's son. And remember, he came from Capernaum, walked 25 miles. And when he got to Jesus, Jesus didn't do anything fancy. He just said, go back home, your son lives. And then what was the third miracle? You remember? The guy at the pool of Bethesda, when he was there. Remember the man that was there that day when Jesus asked him, he said, will thou be made whole? Remember what the man didn't say yes, he didn't say no. He just said, I simply have no body, almost like I can't. And he could have got caught up in it. But each one of those, just like we see here with the apostles, Jesus told the servants at the first miracle, fill up the pots. They were obedient and filled up the pots. The second one, the nobleman's son, he said, go back home. Your son lives. So he just turned around and went back to the house in faith. He provided a place for Christ to work in. When they were faithful in filling up the pots, there was a place for Christ to work. When the man turned around and went home in faith, there was a place for Christ to work. When he told the man to get up and walk, pick up your mat there at the pool of Bethesda, what happened? They got up and walked. And then what we see here is that Christ provides specific instruction. Be seated, seat them down, and then give them the food. Ever how much they want, but look what God did. Remember, what did Jesus say? You feed them, right? Whose hands were the last one to pass it to the people that were eating there that day? The apostles' hands. He made it. He told them, you're going to feed them. And they tried to figure out, how should we go buy 200 penny worth or denarii's worth? No, Jesus provided a way for them to serve because they were obedient. They did what Christ said. They didn't let their thoughts or their emotions overcome them. They just took it and carried it out. The next thing is, as we got to recognize it's not going to be on our timing, and it may not be a perfect time for us as individuals when God wants to use us. We've got to remember that we've got to surrender all that we have, even if it's just a little. We surrender it to Christ. We choose, just like the apostles did here, to serve Christ faithfully over human reason. And you know what? Faith, being a committed servant, is a sign of faithfulness. Amen? Being committed, doing what God commands, even when you don't know how He's going to work it all out, that's showing faithfulness. Then, not only do we serve Him as He instructs, but then we trust Christ for the increase. I said this Sunday morning, but this is the truth. You cannot outgive God. You cannot, man. I'm telling you, I've been praying, you know, our heart's desire and our motto, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And as a church, our year's motto is one more soul. And I've been praying for that. And you know, God has supplied some characters over the past few weeks. I mean, some walking, others are looking for sofas, some just want to talk, but God has supplied some, but He's also given me the opportunity to help them financially. Well, today, God just showed up and put a brand new rifle in my life. That's amazing. I've been wanting this gun for how long, Brother Keith? A year and a half, 2 years? And I can't say it's exactly mine, but I'm the one that gets to pull the trigger from now on for a little bit. You see, God is going to, we'll always be blessed in our service to Christ. You know that? I spoke with one today that God's using them in a great and mighty way, and he's showing that individual that they do matter in the kingdom of God, but it's getting difficult. Some of the service is getting difficult there. But praise God, Jesus said that if they hated Him and times were difficult for Him, when we faithfully serve, things are going to get difficult because this world is against anything that is pro-Jesus. You can be pro-anything else except pro-Jesus. But then notice something else. Not only did they trust Christ for the increase, but they reaped the blessing in their service. Now, how many baskets did they take up? How many apostles are they? 12. Now remember, and I just remind you of this, it's the season of traveling because they have to go to Jerusalem. And they're going to have to spend time in Jerusalem. And it's like I told you Sunday morning, one of the most, it used to be the most expensive thing until gas prices went up. But when you travel, one of the most expensive things is eating. I mean, you eat out. That's the thing about me. I love to eat out. I mean, me and Amy, when we was first married, what we would do, we went down to Panama City Beach, and what we'd do of an evening is we would eat what is it? What do you eat before your meal? Appetizer. We'd get an appetizer at one place, then we'd walk it off a little bit on the strip. Then we'd go in and we'd eat some main meal somewhere else. Then we'd get out, we'd walk that off a little bit, and then we'd go get us an ice cream or something. I mean, we just loved to eat. That was a part of it. But look what Jesus did. I don't know if this is the way it worked out, but could it be that Jesus made sure that every one of his apostles had food for the journey? Made sure that they had something to eat. Now, we don't know how big the thing was, but that's the same is true for us. When we're committed to the service of Jesus Christ, what he's called us to do, when we give him all that we are, or to the best of our ability, all that we are, and when we allow his truth to dictate what we do instead of the way we feel or the way we think, we will always be blessed in it. Now, sometimes it will be monetarily or physically, but other times it's just a spiritual blessing inside that God, the favor of the Lord is upon us. And then the next thing is, and we don't see it here, but after we've done all that and we've seen God's hand work in our lives, work in our church's lives, we need to turn around and give the testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like I was talking about before, that somebody today would willingly trade lives with you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're in. The world needs to hear good news. Bad news, you don't have to hunt bad news. You know what I mean? It'll find you. And praise God, we live in here in Podunk, Virginia, and it don't take long for bad news to go far. But what about good news? The world needs to hear good news. They need to hear that Christ is moving in your life, that he's working in your life, that, praise God, it may not be perfect, but hallelujah, I am blessed every day. Every day that I wake up. And I've seen God's hand work not only in my life, in the lives of other people, in the lives of my children, in the lives of my wife. And think about these 12 apostles. When they're writing about it, all four of the Gospels have it, that they told somebody, let me tell you about the day that Jesus used me to feed 5,000 men. I mean, isn't that an awesome thing? This year, we've already beginning that we're going to do the worship in the field that Sunday night after on the Duffield days. And praise God, I'm expecting for God to do bigger than he did last year. But I want that to be a time of where different churches, different ministries can come in there and just declare how great God has been to them since the last worship in the field. So as we consider doing something awesome for the Lord Jesus Christ, and remember, God's not a respecter of persons, amen? Not everybody's going to be a Peter and a John and a James, but he still said, greater things will men do because I go to my Father. Just like the ministry that's going on over there at the Bible study, backyard Bible study, and the creative learning. I was talking to Sister Masha today, and I told her, I said, you know what? Some of those children may not remember anything about what they're taught, but they'll remember Sister Yvonne, Sister Masha, and whoever else was there. They invested time into my life when they didn't have to, and that'll stand. They're doing something awesome for Jesus right now. Amen. So now next week, well, yeah, because we ain't going to be able to do it this Sunday. But next week, what we're going to do, you remember how I've been talking about the miracles in the book of John. The next one is when Christ walks on the water. And the miracles before have not been in chronological order. But in John, what we're going to see is that it seems that they immediately leave from feeding the 5,000. And they go and get into the boat to cross over the sea. But Jesus goes up to be alone by himself. And I think that that is in chronological logical order over there in the book of John chapter 6 through chapter 7. And this is the one where it says they rowed all night long. They rowed about 2 or 3 miles into the sea, and they see Jesus coming. And it says, and don't you think about this as we study it, it said that he would have passed by them had they not called out to him. Don't you think about that? But then it also says that when he gets in the boat with them, what happens? They immediately arrive where they're going. Isn't that awesome? They immediately arrive where they're going. This one is recorded, I think, this miracle, the walking on the water, is recorded in 3 of the 4 Gospels. But any thoughts, maybe on tonight's study or maybe on the study of the signs? Remember, why did John say that he was recording these signs? Do you remember? So that people would see it, and seeing what Jesus had done, or reading what Jesus had done, that they would believe, and in believing, they might have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But see, what can happen is you can get caught up in the miracle instead of getting caught up in the miracle worker. And that was the whole thing there. I'm enjoying this study. I've been typing it and typing and typing and typing these things. I've needed it just to get closer back with Jesus, you know, get more familiar with him. Any thoughts on our studies? Something new, I know. I have preached from this passage, I think, back in 2019, I think it was, and I looked at it and I thought, my goodness. Not what I preached wasn't wrong, but you see it in a way that you've never seen it before. Never thought about it. That's just like the barley bread. I've only learned that that was the common man's bread in the past 2 or 3 years. That's the little boy. And in that we see that God chooses to use the common things, not the fancy things, not the nobility, as he says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He didn't use the strong or the wise in the eyes of the world, but he chooses to use the weak things, the foolish things, to confound the world. Any other thoughts? See, we're getting down to the last few of the miracles. We'll have the healing of Lazarus. We'll see him walking on water, and then there's the healing of Lazarus. I've got a list. I've forgot them right now, but really and truly, there's more miracles, because the greatest miracle is what in the book of John? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, there is no greater miracle or sign. Remember, we talked about, why did John call them signs? Because signs deliver a truth and tell us of a truth. Just like a railroad signs or a curvy road or slow children at play or whatever, it tells you what's coming up and that you need to be aware of that. And that's the way that the signs of Christ are, that they're pointing to him being the Messiah, the chosen one of Christ. So, anything else? Pray for me tomorrow. I'm going to try to get to see a sister, Wilma Jean, if they'll let me get in to see her. So, yeah, Johnson City, not Bristol. Yeah, Johnson City. Yes, ma'am. I think her daughter lives right down the road, and she's being able to look at her, but. Her daughter said she looks like she's having a hard time right now. So be praying for them. Any others? Is there any prayer needs you might have thought of? She didn't remember. It is good to see Ken, though, ain't it? I mean, we missed him a little bit, I guess, since he's been gone. Anyone else tonight before we close? All right, Brother Ken, come close us out in a word of prayer.
Yeah.
Let us bow. Father God, it is truly good to be in your house again tonight and amongst your people, and most importantly, with you. And I feel your presence here tonight. And just thank you for everything you've done for me and this church family. Thank you for all the blessings and mercies bestowed upon all of us. just lead, guide, and direct us in everything we do, and just go with us and love us as you always do. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.